And she said that when I got to Harvard, they are challenging me to think critically. They're not giving me all the answers. They're not telling me every little thing to do. And I wish that I had more of that in high school.
Hey there, class kickers, and welcome to another edition of the Kick Some Class podcast. I am your host, Brian, and this is the show that's designed to help you, the educator, kick some class in every area of life that is at home and in school. And today I've got my special guest with me, Mr. Tony Franklin, and he is a teacher down in the Houston, Texas area. And we just had an awesome conversation on his podcast. He's a podcaster, he's a teacher, he's a father, he's a basketball coach. And we're going to kind of get into all those things. And one thing that I love that he says on his podcast, the Living Numbers podcast, which you need to check out, is everybody is interesting if you ask the right questions. And so I am hoping to show you how interesting he is tonight. I almost said like, to make him interesting. I'm like, no, he's interesting on his own. So Tony, welcome.
What's up, Brian? Good to see you again, man. I've been excited for this. I was telling my kids, hey, the guy I had on my show, I'm going to be on his show. So y'all got to check that out too. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Absolutely. I mean, I said it, but absolutely. Sometimes we say nice things and I meant that one. Man, that's rough. I'm imputing my own character there, but we really had a great time. So I'm going to start off again. I told you this is going to be some bad basketball puns in here. I'm stealing something from the playbook, right. From the Living Numbers podcast. And I'm going to try to get you on these. I told you there's no gotcha questions and I lied. So I got three numbers for you. Ready? So the first one is 1717. I don't expect you to know this answer, by the way.
1717.
1717.
Is that points?
It's not. It's miles. That is how far away we are from one another tonight. I was like, ooh, use the old Google Maps. And that leads me to the next one, which might be a little bit different for you. Looking at the forecast, I'm giving it away here, is 60 and 100.
60 and 100. You said forecast. 60 degrees, 100% chance of rain.
Ooh, no, it's going to be 60 degrees warmer where you are. And there's 100% chance that I'm extremely jealous about that. We're looking at super like 25 below tomorrow. I was like, ooh, but no, I love that you do that. And I love that you don't go through the gotcha, but I had to. So one of the things we talk about all the time on my show, we're really talking about is burnout and looking at the way that we do life, looking at the way that we are as educators kind of like tackle the classroom and really all that stuff together. And so, you know, as we were kind of chatting before, you have a really different route to education than most people do. And so why don't you give us that like quick background? And then really the question that I want to ask when you're done with that is, how do you think that adds a strength? Right. Like I came right out of college, went into teaching, and there's some good things, but there's some struggles. I was 23, a little bit older, a little bit wiser, maybe would have helped. So I don't know if you can speak to the, like how you came into becoming a teacher and then how you think that has been a good thing.
So the seed was kind of planted right out of high school, like a graduation. I'm kind of thinking, because everybody expects you to know what you want to do with your life at 18 and 19 years old, which is kind of crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Definitely looking back on it. But I thought about maybe I could be a teacher, but it was a distant thought, right? I still had other things that I maybe wanted to try first. But eventually, right, fast forwarding, I get my degree. I'm working at Chase Bank. And I go, okay, I think I have some options here. You know, you feel like you can stick your chest out a little bit, you know, once you get your degree, you know. And I go to a job fair. I'm walking around and this lady's like, oh, you could teach English in China. And the exact words that I said to myself in my head, ain't nobody going to know China. That's exactly what I thought. Ain't nobody going to know China. And after walking around for, you know, 30, 40 minutes, looking at 30, 40 companies, you go, okay, I don't want to do any of this. Nothing has sparked my interest. I get in my car and I go, what about this China thing? And so I thought about, okay, maybe I can make money, maybe save some money and be able to travel. And that's basically everything in a nutshell. And that's how I pitched it to my wife. She said, yes, we go. We go for a year. And I'm teaching these little Chinese kids anywhere from the ages of like, I would say 4 up until like 8th grade. And so I get back, have a great experience. And a friend of mine is like, well, maybe you should just try teaching here. And at this point, I think I'm like 27 or 28, maybe somewhere around there. And I had tons of jobs before this point, maybe about 20. I actually counted on a different show, a different episode with my brother. But I go, okay, I'll be a sub. I know for sure I'm only doing high school. So I'm a sub. Less than a week, I'm there. I'm like, yep, this is the next step. I want to be a teacher. So I get certified, and I want to say it was 2018 was my first like official year. I did some long-term sub stuff, you know, the year before. But yeah, this is my 5th year teaching, 33 years old, and it's been a blast.
Man, it's funny, you know, there's nobody going to China. And then you said 40 minutes later, essentially. I don't know. I love when we make those declarations and then, you know, kind of the seed is there. That was pretty funny. But I didn't realize, so we didn't actually talk about this. I didn't realize your wife was with you. So how was that? I mean, did she teach as well while she was over there? Or was it just, you know, like you guys just went together?
It's kind of like an under the table thing, but it's very commonplace because my wife didn't have her degree yet. She was still working on hers. For people who come there with a spouse or a friend, that person to just be a tutor, like on the side. So, I mean, clearly we look American. And so people always want to talk to us. At least that's how it was in the place that we were. Medium-sized city, about 20 million people. People just want to talk to you. They want to take pictures with you. They go, hey, can you talk to my kid? Right? Just talk English to them. And eventually you kind of come into this community of people where there are all these different tutors just kind of all over the place. And you get in these different group chats. And they called it WeChat was the app that they used. And so now you just kind of get in these kids and these parents. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's set up a school or a session. You may have 2 or 3 parents who know each other. They got maybe 2 kids. And, you know, eventually, before you know it, you got 8 kids. You're tutoring as just a little side gig. And so that's pretty much how that came to be. She does that's not crazy. Look at herself as a teacher, though. She was like, I'm absolutely not being a teacher when I get back. That's a just for here to make some extra money thing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because there's some parallels to what happened during COVID, right? Like just families kind of bonding together and grabbing, whether it's a teacher on the side or something, you know, so that's really kind of interesting. There was something else that I'd heard in that, you know, like you said, just as soon as you subbed, it was like, this is it. And I find like, you know, there are people who I find get into teaching and then they struggle with that decision, but I've, sometimes it's like when you teach and then you're like, oh, this, you did the job and then you realized it was part of the identity, you know? And so it's like, okay, I can put up with some challenges because this is me. Right. So it's kind of cool to hear that, you know? So it's funny, like thinking back through some of the stuff we talked about and coaching and you got a little one running around. Your son's a little younger than my daughter. He's what, 2, almost 3, maybe?
He is 1.5, I guess you would say. His birthday's in June.
So oh, okay. So he's not running quite yet.
Downstairs now.
Yeah. So the question, you know, we talked about this and man, I can't help not talking about how my daughter changed my life. And, you know, so how did that play into teaching? Like you said, you've been teaching 5 years, you got a 1.5-year-old. So there's 2.5 years. You factor in the pregnancy is also some ups and downs. And, you know, I won't make light of your wife actually, you know, she did all the work. Right. But like, it does influence you. So how did that impact you? You know, kind of as a new teacher, because those first couple years are rough.
I would say because of my experience along the way, and you asked that question, I didn't really get a chance to answer it, but I think it applies here, where we have been married for 7 years already before we had our son. So, yeah. And especially being in China together for a year and really just having each other, it built a very strong foundation for us with how we wanted to raise our children. Hopefully at some point we get another one going here. And then how we wanted to, you know, run our home and that kind of thing. So we had really created this great home culture, you know, for us. So by the time we did have him, we felt very comfortable. Now, as far as being a new teacher, I had all of this experience in the workplace. So I worked in construction, I worked in retail, I worked in food and beverage, you know, as a waiter. I also worked like as a trainer, you know, training construction safety classes. So I have been in the field, I have been in an office. Banking. So I have worked in all these different service industries. I've been a manager before. So all of this experience helped me when I go into a classroom and I have to like try to connect with these kids, you know. So looking young really helps because people are like, how old is this guy? And sometimes I would be walking around the campus as a sub and they would go, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Do you have a pass?
A pass, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of work here today. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, but having all these different experiences and knowing how to relate to people, to connect with people, it helped me to, I guess, decrease the learning curve of being a teacher, because I already knew how to do those things, right? I wasn't coming out of college with no work experience and trying to figure out what's the balance with kids in the classroom and myself. You know, where is the line? We talked about that in our episode.
Yeah.
You know, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Also being confident in who I was already. You know, by the time I had come to the classroom, I'm like, all right, I kind of know who I am here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always room for growth, but I'm comfortable with me. So there wasn't really a whole lot that some teenager was going to be able to say that was going to disrupt, you know, who I feel like I am on the inside. Man. And at the same time, there wasn't a ton that a teacher was going to say personally that was going to, you know, disrupt who I felt like I was on the inside as well. So it was easy for me to take constructive criticism, you know, because there has to be some of that along the way.
Yeah.
There has to, in order for you to get better in an industry. So I didn't take any of this kind of stuff personally, which can really happen, you know, from both the kid side, because they'll say some crazy stuff sometimes, and both from the adult side as a new teacher trying to figure things out. So home life was established and I was pretty secure in who I was. So it made the transition, I feel like, pretty easy for me coming in as a new teacher at, you know, 27, 28 years old.
Man, I'll tell you, like, I almost want to bend my own audience. I know I don't have that power, but I know that if maybe some of your kids in your class, I'm sure they get this because, you know, I can just tell you're sharing your life with them. This isn't just your content, right? But what you said, I'm just going to try to remember the things I was trying to count them on my fingers, you know, like a skill stack, right? This is that thing. It's been front of mind for me. I don't even remember where I heard it. Just a bunch of times, like, don't be afraid to try something, and you don't really fail. You acquire a set of skills or experience that's going to carry you forward. Man, that's killer. And then the other one is when you get into a relationship and you commit, right? So you commit into marriage. What you guys did, like, there's no one from your family around. You can't walk next door and complain or drive 20 minutes down the street. Like, you know, my wife and I had a similar experience. Not obviously that dramatic. We're an hour and a half from one side of the family, 2.5 from another. And when we got married, it was funny. Both of our parents, both sides of the family, old school, said, like, don't come back here when you have a fight. You guys figure it out. And I think, like, that is a gift, isn't it? Right. So I love the way you put that. That having the home front figured out, you established how we're going to run our marriage, how we're going to run our family. And I think so many times a new teacher coming into this, that first year is rough and they don't have that figured out. And so it's like they're coming home and they're violating all these boundaries with their spouse or with their kids or even with their own health. And they don't even realize that that's where the issues are coming from in the family because, you know, like we laugh. We both kind of shook our heads like not doing that, right? Like you're not staying up till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night grading papers. And so, but what's that do to your family?
Not if you don't
Not if you don't have to, right? There might be times. That's a fair statement, right? So I love that. When I was looking up, I found that, you know, you got the Rookie of the Year teacher award twice. And I was like, I don't know how that happens twice. How, you know, you get the red shirt rookie and no. So I'll just pick an idea. I noticed that I read the little fine print, but that's pretty cool, right? You know, I mean, to get that honor from your school district, that had to feel good, you know?
It's great to feel recognized. Like no matter how good you think you are or how bad you think you are, right? When people recognize what you do well and that you're making an impact, because a lot of times, especially with the school part, no. I'll even say with both, because it was Rookie of the Year for my school. So that's a teacher that's a first year teacher. And then CTE, Rookie Teacher of the Year for the district. And so that's career technology education. And that's 3 years or less. So for the school to say, okay, we recognize what you're doing here. And I kind of had a leg up because I had been subbing there for a year and a half, you know, in and out. You know, people knew who I was. It wasn't, it wasn't fresh new. We don't know this guy. It's kind of like, I had the ear of people. And so when I was able to get that honor, it just also said that you're doing good things as a teacher. You're not just cool, you know, a nice guy to be around. You got a great smile. No, it was this guy's doing things in the classroom, even as a rookie, that are things that we appreciate. And so we want to acknowledge him. And the CTE part, that one was a huge surprise. So we're at this professional development. Was it either the end of the year or the beginning of the year? You know, they're always kind of stacked right there.
Yeah.
And this is like the first time they're giving out these awards in some time, right? I think there had been some turnover. These things kind of went away. So they're like, okay, we're going to give out awards. Best campus, CTE teacher of the year, and then the rookie part. And so people had to like vote, right? These are your peers. And they have to say stuff about you, right? They have to give a little blurb. And so I'm sitting there and then they do, I don't remember if they did mine, the rookie first, either way. Like they're saying stuff and you kind of go, okay, yeah, that could be anybody. Okay, yeah, that could be anybody too. And then the stuff kind of starts to sound like you. I'm like, wait a second. And then a friend of mine, the guy I was sitting next to, shout out to Boston, that's his last name. Nice. He goes, oh yeah, you won because I wrote that about you. I know, that is literally my quote. I'm like, get out of here. Sure enough, they say my name. And, you know, I walk up, you know, it's, hundreds. I'll just say hundreds. And, you know, you get your picture taken with the director of CTE and, you know, they put it up on the website and they put your name up, you know, at the CTE building. I've had people send that picture to me a few times, like, hey, look what I stumbled across. You know, what is your name doing up here? And so that was definitely a shock. And I was like, wow, that's great to be recognized. And I've also been a finalist for Teacher of the Year at my school. Come close. I'm still kind of tracking that one down, though.
Awesome. And so like from my, this people may not realize this up here. We don't, when we say a district is a school for you guys, a district. And I noticed this it's a lot. Like, so my district is one high school, one middle school, three feeder elementaries. And we're a fairly decent sized school, but unless you are near New York City in the north, you don't see districts like you guys have. So your district, is that like countywide? I mean,
Yes, I would say so. It's Fort Bend County. There are, I think, 9 high schools.
Right.
I can't even count how many middle schools. I mean, just basically double it. In elementary schools, quadruple it. So we're talking about, we have 80,000 students.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there's a lot of competition.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And, you know, to win, you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, people think I'm good, you know, so.
Love it.
Yeah. It's
and I'll tell you, you know, those pictures people sent you of your name, hang on to those, right? I'm not proclaiming doom, but, you know, there are days that didn't go so well. And you're like, okay, well, in the past, somebody thought I was kind of a little cool a little bit, right? So those things come up. I wish I had maybe hung on to those things, some of those things from earlier in my career. And that kind of brings me to some of the questions I want to start asking every guest. So you're going to be my guinea pig here tonight. And that's the first one is like, having come into teaching, regardless of the backstory, which was really pretty cool, what do you feel like that you weren't prepared for that maybe college prep or mentor program or something could have prepared you better that was still like, oh.
I would say like class sizes. Because, you know, if you have a room full of 9th graders or even 10th graders, they can get kind of squirrely.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe 15 to 20. It's very, very different than having class sizes of like 30 to 35. I had a class of 37 kids before, English 3, juniors. Think they know it all. So it's, you really have to figure out how to manage that and like, what are the rules? Right. So some things I feel like some teachers have too many rules for my taste. OK, but you do got to have some because people will just go crazy. They'll just do whatever they want. So I think class sizes, I don't think anything can really prepare you to go, all right, I got 35 teenagers in here, all different skill levels, you know, all different homes, all different backgrounds. Hmm. And we're the most diverse school in the most diverse district in the country. So, ooh. Yes, I work in the most diverse school in America.
Yeah, so, that's crazy. So here, now I'm in a rural part of New York State, right? Outside of New York City, our county is the most diverse in the entire state of New York. And the reason is Fort Drum. Like you got people from all over the United States, you got their spouses from all over the world. So it's, you wouldn't think that being in this, you know, small area. So yeah. And you hit it. This is what every teacher is saying, right? That you being hired to be in a class of 14 kids, that's a dream. It's a dream not a lot of people have. And I was just talking about this, you know, like with a colleague of mine that there's a number for every person, right? And it's like you start hitting those mid-20s and then you're like, yeah, I need to change the plan a little bit. You know, you drop under 20, you're like, is there a late bus or 6? You know, it just feels, it feels different. Right. So that's good. And I'm going to kind of ask you to put the old wise old sage hat on now. So say there's a new teacher moves in right next door to you. For that first day of school, what's the thing you're telling them to maybe help, you know, pass it on a little bit?
My number one thing that I always tell teachers is you have to be yourself. You cannot do it like other people because they have their ways, they have their experiences, they have whatever education and tools that they know. Now, I'm not saying do things one way and never change it. But you have to be your authentic, your personality is part of who you are. So don't shelve that just to, I would say, do things a certain way. Continue to be yourself, show your personality, connect with kids in the best way that you know how, because I feel like that's where you're going to get the most buy-in from people. And then if you can do that, now you want to start adding things to your tool belt, right? That's the verbiage that we use, right? Yeah. Now you want to start adding like those conflict management tactics. Now you want to start adding those different ways to teach and put people in groups, knowing how to de-escalate, right? That's one of my
huge.
No, that's another thing that you got to really figure out early, especially with high school kids who, you know, some of them might be 18 or 19. You need to understand, you need to bring situations down. You can, but it's not a good idea to match this energy level of some of these kids when, you know, they may get angry and, or they may be really, really sad, right? So you got to try to bring them back to even, and you got to stay even. So I would say, number one, be yourself. And number two, learn how to de-escalate as fast as you can.
Oh, man, that is good stuff. I think about that, being yourself, man. And like, and I think, like you said, there's earlier you were alluding to this, like, what are the rules? What's the balance? And I think you can be yourself, because they will sniff it out if you're not. So you might as well be who you are. And if like, this is hard to learn, and you probably coming into this older really helped you, where younger teachers, specifically, like you mentioned in the high school, there could only be 4 years difference, maybe five. You know, so like I was about 16 when I was 23. You know, I got asked for my pass. It's been a long time since that happened. I don't really know why. No, I'm kidding. But you know, so it's interesting like that. You've got to establish a respect, but you do it through rapport, not through like, you know, and that's what I see a lot of new teachers do, is they'll escalate trying to show that I'm the boss. Like, I loved how you hesitate. You can. It's just not the smart thing to do, right? It's going to create it. It's worse.
It's so, got to be like few and far between. Like, I had to raise my voice like to get after somebody.
Yeah.
I would say maybe three times this school year. In this second semester, we kind of get into that, you know, second 9 weeks. I mean, just because it just doesn't really help that much. Not to me. No. Not to me. I feel like there's a better way.
Yeah. And I think after a while, they just tune that out. You know, yep. it's noise, you know? So the last question here, at least in this stream, is, you know, a lot of things shifted in education over the last couple of years. Some things, I mean, COVID kind of blew some stuff up, and, you know, it's changing some stuff, but all that said and done, this is our profession. We're going to own it. So where do we need to go? What do you see, you know, the things that you think are working or things we need to move to because they're not working? You know, what would you tell those people that are making the decisions? Hey, we need more of this, less of this.
So I'll use this story. There was a kid, very bright. She was actually on my show, and she goes to school at Harvard. Right, she went on a track scholarship, supremely talented on the track and off to the track. And she said that when I got to Harvard, they are challenging me to think critically. They're not giving me all the answers. They're not telling me every little thing to do. And I wish that I had more of that in high school. And I think that hits it right on the head, because once we can challenge people, right, to think critically, to go find answers, evaluate those answers to see if they are the right ones or good ones, or if there's a better one, right? Now we're teaching people how to think for themselves. Now we're teaching people how to create, right? That's what we need more of. Too much hand-holding. There's too much hand-holding. There's too many helicopter parents fighting their kids' battles, because we learn the most when we fail. Think about the times in your life where you really learned and turned over a new leaf and really tried to do things better. It's when things sucked the worst, right? So you don't get that when you're not able to have the opportunity to fail when the stakes are low in high school, when it may be just, you know, a major grade or some quiz and you slept it off and you kicked it down the road and you failed and you go, dang, like that kind of sucks. But if your parents or your guardian, whoever, always comes and swoops in and saves the day, like, you never learn that lesson. So there are times where things happen with a kid, and of course I could change the grade. I could give them another shot, but I don't, because they have to learn that lesson now. And whatever I can do to try to help that along. Now, I'm not saying be unfair to kids. I'm saying when things happen, don't save them. Don't save them. I'll tell a very short story. I'll tell a very short story. Kid ran track. Loved the kid. great kid. We would chop it up. We would talk all the time about whatever. It really didn't even matter. He was a great kid, great personality. Was one of the fastest guys on the team. He failed my class for, I guess, the 9 weeks. You know, whenever you lose that eligibility. And I said, man, I know it sucks right now. It stinks. But you didn't take care of business. Like, you're not going to be able to run. And I hate that it has come to this because I don't want you to fail. I want you to go out there and be successful. But, man, if you don't learn it now, when? And I don't feel comfortable being the person to just keep pushing you along without you doing the work. I mean, the track coach even came. You know, hey, what's going on? You know, what can we do? Anything we can do? I said, no, I've already done everything that I can do. The director, head athletic director came along. Hey, man, you know, it's anything we can do. And, you know, I'm not going to say I got in trouble, but there was some tension there, some strife, because I wouldn't budge because I'm not going to be the one. And I'm a coach. I know how it is.
You know it. Yep.
I tell my players, hey, if you don't take care of business, I'm not coming to save you. Mm-hmm. You're going to put yourself in a bad position. You're going to put us as a team in a bad position. So you got to take care of your business. I won't be a part of that culture. So we definitely need less hand holding and we need more opportunities to make these kids think more creatively and to solve problems using their own brains.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Right on. And it's one of those things that I think we have to look at this different. If we are serving the human being by making them grow. And when you look at it that way, you're not being mean. You actually believe, and I agree with you, you're right. You are helping that kid, because if they, you know, like, this is a joke around about this, like, oh, I got to make the mistake myself. That's the dumbest thing in the world to brag about, right? Like, it would be smarter if you could, one, learn from the mistake the first time. Anything after that is stupidity, right? Like, everybody's allowed to be dumb at first. But once you make the mistake again, now that, you know, so, man, I love that. That's good stuff. And creativity, like, you know, like, so many times we talk about those, I don't know how many C's there are now. They're first, there were four. Now I think there's like 96 of them, you know, like, but all those 21st century skills, that's it. That's what's going to make somebody successful in life. If we help to develop their character, and what you're talking about is character, and we got to care enough about that over everything else. So, man, that's good stuff. So you did this for me. I'm going to do the same for you. Plug it all. I love that phrase you said. What? So you got the Living Numbers podcast. I love you got merch going on. So this is your shot. The final buzzer. See, I had to get that last one in. So go ahead. Tell everybody where they can follow you, find you, all that good stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. You can find the Living Numbers podcast, TikTok, Instagram. I just posted something actually kind of fun there today. Because I am an athlete, so I like to post some athletic stuff. You can also find the show on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you listen, Amazon. I am everywhere. The Living Numbers Podcast, TikTok, Instagram, and everywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as YouTube. Oh, yeah, merch. Right. Yeah, the Living Numbers Pod Shop. That link will be in the description of all of those different places. So you'll find hoodies, t-shirts, so on and so forth.
Love it. Awesome. Well, Tony, again, awesome conversation. Really appreciate from, we're sitting in the same place probably, but it just, to kind of direct it a little bit differently. And all the rest of you guys out there, man, go check out the Living Numbers podcast. And it's, remember, it is up to you to take whatever you learn from this episode and go kick some class. So we'll catch you in the next one. We'll